Praise the Lord. You know, I think about the miracle of new birth that happened with the person that Phyllis got to share the gospel with, and what's going on, with them, and how you never know, when God's going to have that perfect moment set up for you to do that, to share Jesus Christ with somebody, that good news, and how God goes before us. So very very much the theme of tonight's message. There was a runner for Mexico. His name was German Silva, and he was a marathon runner. He actually is known for winning the New York City Marathon in 1994, and he's also known for something else. He earned a nickname, Wrong Way Silva, because in that race in 1994, he had a comfortable lead. He had been through all five boroughs of New York City. He was nearing the finish line, and he went off course right before he got into Central Park where the finish line was. And at the time, his wife was interviewed. They knew he was in the lead, but he wasn't showing up when they thought he would. So they were interviewing his wife, and they said, he could have gone off course here. And she said, oh, he can't be that stupid. But the reality is that he did go off course. And when he was asked about it later, what happened? How in the world could you have gone off the course? And he said, well, I was so focused. There was a press truck in front of me with the cameramen and the newsmen and everything. He said, I was nearing the finish line. I was so focused on the truck that when they went off course so they didn't go through the finish line, I just followed them. But fortunately, a policeman realized what was going on and stopped him and got him back on the course, and he actually won the New York City Marathon by 2 seconds. We've been doing a series the last few weeks, and I think that for most of us, we would have to acknowledge that the church overall in America in some ways has gone off course for a while, including us. And what I mean by that is Jesus has clearly given the church a mission for their time on earth, and that mission is to seek and save the lost. In Luke 19:10, it says that the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And he said in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the course that Jesus has given us as his church. This is our race that he has put us in. It's the race that we're supposed to run, but unfortunately, in some ways, for a season anyway, a lot of the church has gotten off course from that. And we know that it's important for us to address that. It's important for us to take Jesus' commands seriously. When he commands us to share the gospel, we need to pay attention to that. And we know that we need to be more like Jesus. So when you look at the life of Jesus and you see, why did Jesus do what he did? Why did he engage the crowds? Why did he take time for people? And you find out that he was driven by compassion. In Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So Jesus, he saw that people were harassed, that people were helpless, that people didn't seem to care about a lot of other people in society, that people weren't helping them or paying attention to them, that they were harassed and helpless, and that they didn't, mainly, the main thing was they just didn't have a connection with God. That was the issue. And so Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus couldn't just sit and watch lost people remain lost. He felt that he needed to address that, and he wanted his disciples also to be focused on that. So Jesus, basically what he said was, he looks at these people who are lost, and he looks at his disciples, and he said, would you guys pray for them? Would you have enough compassion for these people who are lost that you would pray for people who would do something about it? You'd pray for people who cared enough about God's plan to rescue and to seek and save the lost, that they would pray and that they would be workers who would go into that harvest field. As the church, we get the honor of being the answer to Jesus' prayer, which is really an amazing, amazing thing. Rick mentioned that, how Jesus is interceding for us, but he also prayed for us while he was here, and he prayed that we would go and continue the mission that he gave us. So last week we said that one good method that can be used for this mission is praying a particular prayer, and I mentioned this prayer. It has a couple questions to it that are there together, but the prayer was, Lord, how do you want to love me today, and who do you want to love through me today? And we've talked about how when we pray that, we remember what our mission is, that our mission is to let God work through us, to show his love to other people, and that the way that that's done is by us receiving his love, that we have to be recipients of that so we can overflow to other people. And Jesus is asking us to engage in this mission, in this adventure of sharing God's love with other people and helping everybody to have a chance through him to have a relationship with God. And he offers to do it through us. And if you notice in Matthew 28, he promised, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, as we are engaged in this mission that he's given us. So we need to take Jesus' command seriously. Like the followers in that first century, they took his command seriously, and they did. The main place that we can look to them for an example is the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is basically a history book of the first Christians. And we see in Acts that they considered what Jesus told them to do the most important thing in their lives. And I'm assuming that everybody here has a relationship with Christ. I hope that's the case, that everybody here genuinely does have a relationship with Christ. If you don't, then this message would hopefully help you understand why it's so important to Christians, why it's so important to Jesus to share the gospel with other people, because God loves people and he doesn't want people to perish in their sins. So as we're getting ready to end this series, I want to take a look through the book of Acts tonight, just briefly skim through it, and look at some things that we can learn. Jesus asked the first century Christians to share the good news with everyone. And we're going to look at how they live that out and take a few lessons from that. The first thing that we can learn by looking at the Christians in the first century is that everyone shared Jesus. Everyone shared Jesus through the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, a Christian named Stephen gets murdered. He's telling people about Jesus. And there are those who really don't like that, and so he's killed for this. And that stirs up a lot of people against the church. People get into this frenzy and start persecuting the Christians. If you look at Acts 8:1, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So, as you guys know, these apostles were these guys who had got to spend some time personally with Jesus and been trained by Jesus, and so they had that special designation. But it says everyone except them. So basically, all the regular Christians, not the guys leading the church, not the guys who had the special time and the special commissioning from Jesus, just the regular Christians are scattered. And they get forced out of Jerusalem. And in Acts 8:4, it says, those who had been scattered preach the word wherever they went. These people weren't necessarily specially trained. They weren't the ones who Jesus had instructed personally. But this was for everyone. And it's still supposed to be for everyone today. And I think some of us don't share our faith for different reasons. Some of us think that a relationship with Jesus is a private thing, which I hate to burst your bubble if you believe that, but that's ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense. If you had a cure for cancer, you know, would that be a private thing? If you were able to do something that was life-giving in somebody's life, if you had a message or an antidote or whatever, you would share that with everybody. And it's that way for us. We have the love of God. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God through Jesus, and it's the greatest thing in the world to get to share. And so it's not a private thing. We need to make sure we share that with everyone. And we have a lot of excuses, though, as Christians. Even Christians who know we're supposed to share the gospel, we've got excuses why we don't. We say things like, well, you know, my life's just not a great example. I'm not really living it good enough, so I can't really tell other people about it. Or we might say, well, you know, I'm not very good at that. I'm not really much of a speaker. Or maybe we think, well, what if they ask questions that I don't have the answer for? Or maybe we say, you know, I'm not really ready to talk about my faith. But we've got excuses, but none of those are legitimate. And the reason why that no excuse is legitimate is because they're all about me. The common denominator in every excuse is I. But the thing is, the reality is that we are not the ones who really lead people to Jesus. God the Father does. He draws them. We have a part to play in that. We get to share Jesus with people, but it's God drawing them, really, to Jesus. So we don't have to worry about whether we get every word right. We don't have to worry about whether we've got the right presentation and we might leave something out or they might ask something we're not ready for or any of those excuses that are focused on us, because it's God, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to work on that person's heart and really bring them into relationship with Christ. Our part is simply to do our best, just to step out in faith, have some boldness, love somebody enough, and share the gospel with them. Did you know that, and I know a lot of you do, but in most countries around the world today, or many countries around the world today, people are killed for publicly sharing the name of Jesus Christ, and they don't use that as an excuse not to share him? There's a guy named Matthew who I was reading about, and it was somewhat anonymous, but a guy named Matthew, and he worked as a missionary in an exclusively Muslim nation. And in that country, whenever he led somebody to Christ, here's how he would instruct them. They were to write down a list of everybody they know who's not a Christian, which in that place, basically everybody you know, and then circle the 10 names of the people, the 10 people who are least likely to kill you for becoming a Christian. And then after you circle those 10 names of people who are least likely to kill you for becoming a Christian, you go share Jesus with them as quickly as possible. And they do. So we have our excuses, but how many people in Kokomo are going to kill you for sharing the gospel? Probably not going to happen. And I realize that for you, that your excuses probably seem very real. I know to me at times, different settings, my excuses to me have seemed very real. But we need to love people enough that it overcomes our excuses. And so I think if we find ourselves not sharing the gospel because of any excuse we have, what we need to do is pray for compassion. We need to pray for an increase of love for others that's bigger than our excuses. And then we would love them and care about them enough that we can't help but share the gospel with them. So you might be thinking, well, I understand, you know, it's important, and I get it, I understand. I just don't really think that I'm ready. I don't think I'm equipped to do that very well. And there's really good news with that, because the first thing we learn is that it's the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not us that does it. It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need to remember the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 28 that he would be with us. Because being with us isn't about just a warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. It's not just about us feeling good about our relationship with him. It's about having God with you so that you're able to do the mission that he's called us to do. That's the reason that he's with us. That's the reason he's empowering us. In the Bible, we know that God with us, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. And in fact, we see that Jesus' disciples, when Jesus is arrested and crucified, they're scared. They're afraid. They don't want to go out and tell people about Jesus. They're hiding. But then, after Jesus is raised from the dead in Acts, we see him with the disciples, and he tells them in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is saying, I'm not giving you a mission to carry out without me. I'm not giving you a mission that you can't do. He's saying, I'm giving you a mission to go on, and I'm with you. I'm with you while you do this. And that's exactly what happens. They go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and multitudes of people come to Christ. And I wonder, you know, I look at that, and I think, okay, look at the way that God was moving, the Holy Spirit was moving in that first century church. Why don't I see that more? You know, why don't I see that more today in the church? And I think part of it is, you know, looking at those verses that they needed God. They were stepping out in faith in a culture that didn't want to hear about Jesus. They were getting over their excuses, and they were sharing him anyway. And they needed the Holy Spirit. They needed that power to make this happen because they couldn't do it in themselves. And so I think, you know, maybe that's why God's waiting on us to really pour out his Spirit in a powerful way that we want. We want, we desire God to do that. We want to see him move in that powerful way. Maybe he's waiting on us to step out in faith and to share him boldly in a way that we desperately need him to help us to do it. And that's when his Spirit will show up in the way that we're praying for. Another thing that we find looking in the book of Acts is that there's no one right way to tell people about Jesus. There's no one set prescribed method of sharing Jesus Christ with people. And you might be wondering, well, if I get the opportunity, what do I say? You know, how do I do that? And we see in the book of Acts that there's different ways to present Jesus to people. In Acts, we see that instead of having necessarily a manufactured or memorized way to give to each person you come across, just a set standard procedure, people are met in different situations in different walks of life, and the disciples who were talking to them recognize where those people are, and that's where they start. For instance, in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter, and he's sharing the message of Jesus with a group of people. And in his presentation, Peter quotes the Old Testament. He shares a lot of the Bible with them, and he shows them from Scripture, he shows them that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And then, when he's done talking to them about Jesus, he calls for a decision. He wants them to make a decision for Christ. But what we find out is that he's talking to a crowd of Jewish people who know the Old Testament. They're looking for the promised Messiah, and they're ready to make a decision one way or the other. And so they recognize that when they're talking to them. In Acts chapter 17, we see Paul, and he's sharing a message about Jesus to a different group of people. And in his presentation, he never quotes the Old Testament. He never quotes the Bible. In that instance, he doesn't specifically even mention Jesus by name. And instead, he refers to the culture of these individuals, and he says, hey, I recognize that you're looking for spiritual answers. I can see that in you. Why? Why did he do that? Well, he was speaking to Greek people in Athens. These were people who did not know the Scriptures. They didn't know the Old Testament. They were not looking for a coming Messiah at all, and they weren't ready to make a decision, so he didn't ask them to make one. We see Jesus' followers in Acts sharing the message of Jesus in all kinds of ways. They would meet a person wherever that person was at and then graciously take them towards Jesus, graciously take them in conversation in a way that made sense to that person, take them in conversation towards God, towards faith in Christ. And we need to do the same thing. We need to meet people where they are, which means that we have to take time to engage in conversations with people. We have to get to know them. We have to ask questions. We have to let them speak to us so we have some discernment and understand where they are. And then graciously help them to take steps towards Christ. So one of the best ways to do that, and I want to encourage you in this, and I don't know if you guys follow up on like Barna Research and what's going on in America with Christians. I'm a big Moody Radio listener, and so I hear like all the stats from Barna all the time. America is becoming radically de-Christianized at an exponential rate. Massive amounts of people, probably the majority of the people in the country, are completely biblically illiterate at this point. And so I would encourage you, a lot of people, try not to use a lot of biblical terminology necessarily. You know, if you go up and you start just talking to some stranger about being washed in the blood of the Lamb and justification, and, you know, those are wonderful, wonderful biblical truths. and great concepts and words, but they're probably not going to get that. They're probably not going to understand what in the world you're talking about. So, you know, one way to engage with somebody is to say, you know, there is a God who loves you, and even though you have walked away from him, even though you've made decisions that dishonored him and have damaged or ruined an opportunity to have a relationship, he still loves you all the same. He's never stopped loving you. And instead of living life your way, God wants you to understand that his son paid the wage. He paid the price for those things that you did that were an offense to God because he loves you. And if you'll receive that in faith, that relationship can be what God wants it to be. You can be forgiven if you're ready to live life his way and trust in him and have life, a new life here now, and have life with him forever in heaven. So you could explain it maybe in that way, just cutting down on some of the theological terms and explaining it in everyday language. Or you could use one Bible verse, which I like to do. You know, I do believe that you know, that method can be effective with some people, but there's also a power in the Word of God. It is living and active. But one thing you can do is just simplify how you share that. So for me, one of my favorite verses for sharing the gospel with people is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you can just explain that. You can just say, you know, break it down for them. Wages. Okay, well, what's a wage? Anybody? Right. When you do something and you earn, it's something you earn, right? You earn a wage. And so it says the wages of sin. Okay, well, what's sin? Okay. Yep, breaking God's law. Right, doing wrong. You know, you've done wrong things. And so the wages of doing those wrong things, the wages, what you've earned, is death. Well, what's death? Separation from God. So from your things that you've done, what you've earned from that is separation from God. But, which is a great thing to run into there, but the gift of God. So what's a gift? Something that's free. Somebody loves you, and so they express that love through a gift, right? They give you something you don't earn. So the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So what's eternal life? Right. Never separated from God, right? If death is being separated from God, it means never being separated from God. So you get to be with God forever. And it's through Christ Jesus that we have that, or in Christ Jesus. So the idea is it's only possible because of Jesus. Because you did have a wage, right, because of your sin that had to be paid. But Jesus paid it on the cross. Jesus paid that for you. So if you receive that by faith and trust in him, then the wage that you deserve, he took care of it, and you can have eternal life with God. That's just a simpler way to just break down, you know, one verse and explain to people in a way that makes sense to them, that's intelligible to them. Another thing that you can do that we see in the book of Acts, and the Apostle Paul did this a lot, was just share your story. And I love this too. You know, really all it comes down to is, this is who I was before Jesus. This is how I came to Jesus. This is who I am now because of Jesus. Really super simple. And the awesome thing is, if you run into somebody who's a little bit of an argumentative jerk, and I've had this happen a lot of times, they'll argue with you all day about Scripture. But if it's your testimony, I mean, how are they going to argue that? It's just your life. You're just saying, hey, this is what I've experienced. It's pretty hard to refute that. So you can even start with that and just say, hey, here's the difference that God has made in my life. I've got to share that with people before in the context of somebody who maybe is, they don't see their need for Jesus necessarily, but they see that their marriage is crumbling, or they see that they're in trouble with their boss, or they see these different needs that they recognize. And I'll just say, well, you know, do you know Christ? I mean, and find out that they don't, and say, well, you know, God cares about your life, and he wants you to pray about your needs, but the first and foremost thing is you've got to have a relationship with him. You know, there was a time in my life where I didn't, and then I could just share my testimony, you know, when I didn't know Christ, how I came to him, and the difference since then. And that's powerful. And the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to go through all the examples, but if you read through Acts, you'll find out that Paul does that often with people. It's a great way to share Christ with other people. So I mentioned German Silva, the runner, at the beginning, and you know, getting off course, and how he was asked, you know, what in the world happened? How did you get off course? And I think that part of the cool thing about what God's doing with Here's Hope, you know, about Church Reimagined and how the church got off course, because this is the main thing, sharing the gospel, not only collectively, but individually, us sharing the gospel, that's the main reason why God has left us here. That's why we're not just saved and we're gone, you know, in heaven. We're here to do this. And the main reason the church hasn't is because we've had our eyes focused on something else. And a lot of times that's just what the church was doing before us. And unfortunately, a lot of times that was just being comfortable and enjoying the Lord, but not necessarily stepping out of the comfort zone and getting out there with people who don't know Christ and sharing him. And so we followed that example in some ways. But we need to follow the good example of, and there are good examples of churches who do get out there and do reach people. And that's what we want to do as Here's Hope, is make sure that we're a people who, you know, we're answering that call to keep the main thing the main thing, to share the gospel individually, to share the gospel collectively. A lot of great opportunities to do that collectively, and I'm not letting you off the hook at all. Share the good news with people individually. But collectively, some things going on. We've got Church in the Park coming up, and who knows what may happen as far as other people who don't know Christ, who are going to be out there, and opportunities to speak with them. So pray for that. Pray for you to be there, and that God would use whomever, but you're available. You're saying, Lord, I'm here. If you want me to talk to somebody at Church in the Park about my relationship with Jesus, I'm ready, just like Phyllis was ready at the great banquet. I'm ready. Same thing with Jesus over everything, which, again, Nathan, the evangelist, is trying to get an inroad before this to get into every high school in the county. And it's very likely he's going to get it done. So he's going to go there. He cannot, because of restrictions, he can't specifically share the gospel there, but he can share his testimony of what happened in his life and then invite them to come to this meeting. There's potentially going to be hundreds and hundreds of unsaved teens who are going to be at this. So you can be there, again, in prayer, ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ in ways we talked about tonight. However God would have you do that, but you can share Christ with somebody at the tent meeting. So another opportunity, go for Sundays. But, you know, not just through those special events. Those are great. But individually, you know, trust that what God said is true, that he's not only with you, but he's with you for a purpose, that as you share the gospel, as you step out of your comfort zone, as you start to do that, he'll give you the words, and he'll give you the peace, and he'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit, and if he is ready to that person's heart, they'll receive it. And if he's not, it's just not their time yet, and that's okay. But go ahead and share it anyway. So just want to encourage you for that. As we close, let me pray for us.